Something that you have here that's different is instead of like a menacing background or like Gotham in the background, yeah, you actually offset the situation with a colorful background, which actually has Batman pop that much more as a character. And the same can be said for your depiction with Catwoman and Batman together with the bright red background playing off their black and grays. When it comes to this like offset, often brighter background that helps make the character pop, is that purposefully done?
Since I started drawing, I always love drawing like the human figure more than anything. I really try to, when I sit down and do a character, I think, how have we seen this character before and how do we want to see them as a fan? Sometimes I do try to offset things. I feel like red is such a powerful color to use. It's very eye-catching, you know, for Batman and Catwoman. It really just, I mean, the love between those characters more than anything. Yeah. So, you know, they're not even looking at each other in that piece at all. I mean, she's looking off in the distance, you know, what is she thinking about during that? What is he's brooding, you know, behind her. And, you know, it really makes your mind wonder what's going on in this moment.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Side Project Podcast. Yes! Let's take a sip from our Run It Up mug. Oh, it's good. It's so good. My throat's a little dry. Still got that cough that's lingering from when I was sick. I can't stand it. So bear with me if I cough at any time through this episode. I apologize, but not sick anymore. Like I said last episode, doing good. Speaking of good, what also was amazingly I was gonna say amazingly good. That doesn't sound right. That's not English. It would be like amazingly well if I was gonna say that, right? I think so. It's not amazingly good. Just sounds anyway. What was amazingly good? I'm gonna say it anyway. Was the sip from my Run It Up mug that's available on the Side Project merch store right now. But not only the Run It Up mug, but the Project Park mug and the Project Things mug, and not only the mugs, but all the merch, the tees and the hats and the hoodies and the beanies and what else is up there? There's shorts that are up there. There's sweats that are up there. There's the Champion Fleece Jacket that's up there. The Project Park Champion Fleece Jacket in collaboration with Champion. That's also up there right now. You can wear that in the winter, or if maybe you're gonna go for a run. So when you run, you can let everybody know that you're running because it goes shoo, 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 shoo. You could be like, you don't even have to say on your left because they're gonna hear you coming on their left. And then also this right here. I haven't worn this for a while. The Dreamcast and the GameCube and the Dreamcast and the GameCube and the Project. Oh, I was gonna go this way. God, me and these monitors, you know what I mean? The Project, you can get this right now available on the Side Project merch store as well in case you are an underrated consoles lover such as Dreamcast and GameCube, some of the best of the late 90s going into the early 2000s. Kind of. Dreamcast was 99. GameCube, I think, was 2001. Yeah, $9.99 for Dreamcast. But I pulled this out. Haven't rocked this in a while. Haven't promoted this in a while because the other day I wore this and I was walking down the street and all of a sudden I was walking and I just hear like, and I was like, what is that? And then I look around and it's just a flurry of gamers, just a flurry of them running around. They're like, oh my God, Chazzy, where can we get that shirt? And I was like, first of all, how do you even know my name? And then secondly, how do you know this is even, what are you talking about? You didn't even see it. It's from the back. And they were like, we need to get that shirt. We love Dreamcast. And this guy over here was like, but I love GameCube. And I was like, relax. You can love both of them. And then you can wear this shirt. And you could show everybody how much you love them. And then in the distance, I heard babies crying out of joy. Dogs barking out of joy as well. Gerbils trying to find cheeks to hide up in. I don't know. It's crazy when you rock the Dreamcast, the underrated consoles tee, which is available in the Side Project merch store right about now. Anyway, let's get into the bread and the butter of this week's episode because my guest this week is an artist in the sense of illustration. A standout technique of his is bringing some of our favorite comic book characters or video game characters to life in the form of beautiful, phenomenal illustrations that can live on forever. Such as taking everyone's favorite adamantium-laced hero, cigar in hand, the strokes of the strands of hair, making him pop on that yellow background, paying homage to the color that's synonymous with our beloved mutants. Or maybe it's Thomas Wayne, Flashpoint Batman, the eyes matching the background, an artist's rendition that does it justice, no league. Black Cat, again with the strokes of the hair, a signature theme, a signature technique, the eyes staring into your soul. Invincible, Mark Grayson, the synonymous background, blue like the series, the shadows on the face, the blood spatter in the back, with each depiction, each rendition, each illustration proving that this man has a strong pen game to go ink for ink with some of the greatest to bless a page. My guest this week is not only an artist waiting for ink to dry, but an amazing cosplayer to boot. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together and give a warm welcome to Tilly's Technique. How's it going, man?
Amazing intro as always. I think I need you to just introduce me in a room everywhere I go with that.
Just every single place you go, even in restrooms. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, or I guess gentlemen.
Just bottle that up, and then I just need it on my phone, and I'll just play it constantly.
It's a ringtone every time someone calls you. It's ladies and gentlemen. That's funny, man. Dude, I'm stoked to have you here, man.
I'm excited to be here.
Oh, dude, I'm so glad, man. It's for so many different reasons. I'm stoked to have you here because obviously everybody that tunes into the show, you know that we have a lot of cosplayers on the show. You know, I switch it up as much as I can. We have photographers on the show. Sometimes I've had some compositors, you know, editors that make awesome, such as Graphics by JMD, who make awesome like edits and composites of cosplayers and everything. But you're the first artist in the sense of like, you know, drawings and illustrations and things like that. So it's really cool. And I'm stoked as a fan of your artwork and as like an interviewer and a podcaster and everything to be able to talk to somebody of your caliber and get the insights of how you do things and everything, dude. So, I mean, I'm done talking about the little warm-up on it. You want to get into it, dude?
Let's get into it, man.
Let's talk some mutants, dude, because you've been posting more so recently a lot of X-Men illustrations, and with the hype around X-Men 97, we all have our eyes a little bit more on the X-Men at the moment. You, of course, have this standout illustration of Wolverine, a classic suited-up Wolvie, cowl, colors, claws, all intact, man. Just an amazing job, dude. And the little details on this, the little details such as the saliva in his mouth, he's opening his mouth, he's screaming, and you have these like strings of spit just hanging there. That's such a disgusting way to describe it. I'm so sorry. But it's like, it's Wolverine, right? It's not Barbie. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're talking about Wolverine here. It's supposed to be, you know, he's not supposed to be pretty, but it's amazing. And it's those little details, man. Just like you've got Gambit looking absolutely phenomenal, hand up close with his powers emanating from it. And it's that detail, the absolute detail in his mutant powers to something like the villainous and very much so needed in the MCU, by the way, Mr. Sinister in all his glory, detailed brow lines, detailed cheeks, red glowing eyes, menacing smile, the stripe of red in the background of what I believe would be something like his neck piece or his collar, man. And it's just accuracy, details on point. And something that I can take from a lot of your illustrations are just that, those little details. And sometimes with many things in life, it can be those little details that kind of seal the deal. The saliva from Wolverine, the glow of the particles from Gambit's hand. When you sit down for your creations, do you go into it with the mindset of got to put those little details in motion, got to add the saliva to Logan's mouth, it'll bring that much more realism to it, or do things just kind of happen as you're on your pathway of artistry? Are you looking for those extra realism within those little details?
I would say now it's more of a natural flow. I think if you look back at a lot of my older pieces, I restricted how much line work I would use. And then when I really kind of sat down, I would say within the past year to 6 months, it's like, oftentimes I felt like I was ruining a piece. I'm like, there's too many lines. People aren't going to enjoy that. I'm going to lose what I'm trying to get.
Right.
And then when I finally said to hell with that, and then I finally really started to use it as valuing. Right. One thing that you'll see from my old pieces to now is that I will use that, the line work as the value. I very seldomly will go back and do highlights unless I'm trying to bring out a specific area. And it's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's always this something that's constantly in motion. I don't really go into it with a plan. So like with like Wolverine, for example, the spit, I was drawing at like 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, oh shit, I got to get ready for work.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, wait, like, I think this piece is done, but I'm like, it's missing something. What is it? I'm like, there should be spit flying out of this mouse. Like he's going into berserk mode. You know, I'm trying to capture what we all want is just Wolverine going nuts, going crazy.
Just Wolverine being Wolverine, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And then it was also funny. I was texting a buddy. He goes, "Hey, what are you working on right now?" And I sent him the picture of the Wolverine and he replied. The first thing he did in all caps was the sneak sound.
Of
the claws. Yeah. And I'm like, bro, that's such a good idea. I'm like, I'm going to add that in there. Like, because it provides a lot of movement for the piece that is just static. There's nothing moving at all. Yes. And then like with the Gambit one that you brought up, I knew I wanted to do some sort of energy around him, but I also didn't want to lose that piece at all. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my stuff, like I do on a digital scale now, just because I can do several layers.
Right.
And if something doesn't work, I don't mess up the whole thing. It makes it easier sometimes when you're working in that medium because you can take things away, add it in. I don't like this. I do like this. Like there's a specific brush in the application I use that allows me to like capture things like that energy a little bit more realistically, I think.
That's funny. I was going to ask you kind of how you did that and like the way that you did his powers and everything, because it's just, I can't think of the right word, but it's not, it's so like human-like. In a sense, like it's not, it doesn't look like an illustration in a sense. I mean, it obviously is, but like, it's just so hyper realistic in a way. I don't know what the right terminology would be for it to describe what I'm thinking, but it's just so perfect. And there's like so much going on just within that area. And I'm just like amazed by it.
And that's what I try to do. I want something at the forefront that you focus on. And then you're like, oh shit, there's another character back there.
Yes.
And just make it visually interesting. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, art, you're supposed to be able to stare at it and everyone, you know, enjoy something a little bit more about it. Everyone has a different opinion. With that Gambit one, I did the whole thing in color and like true color. And then I went back and kind of put a, almost like a light filter on it.
Okay.
So because I wanted to capture that pink red color to give it that vibe. So like I've been really leaning in and enjoying, you know, X-Men 97 quite a bit. So like week to week, you'll see like whoever the main characters in the episode, I'm probably working on a piece for them.
Oh, nice, dude. So, nice.
And that was the same thing with Mr. Sinister. Like I always thought his design was so cool. People recommended to me all the time, like, hey, you should do Mr. Sinister. I'm like, I honestly don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Like, and I dove into it and I'm like, this guy's kind of got a dark past, but it's not entirely all his fault. He just went off the deep end. So I like characters like that. Starts off doing something good, kind of turns to, you know, that darker side. And with that piece, I was just trying to make it as creepy as possible.
And you achieved that. You achieved that. Like all the lines in his in his brow, like I described, like, oh my God, dude. And then you see a little bit of the hair on his like chin area and everything, a little bit of the scruff. And it's just, it's a great piece, dude. You did phenomenal. And something that like I noticed too is the way that you do like hair, it's so flowing and human-like and lifelike. And I mean, how do you kind of go about that? Like what is it in you to bring that hair to life? Cause it's like, it's a small detail, but it's like, it's an important detail. I think, you know, even in something like, obviously you look at Gambit and that hair's flowing and it's long, you know, and you can see, but then even something as the short hair and that slick back hair and it's dark hair as well. It's like black on black with the background of Mr. Sinister, but you can still see like the strands of the hair, you know, can you kind of describe going about that?
So like with dudes, it's really pretty simple, like a flat top or something like that. Cause you're basically just, it's the same thing as like the cross hatches and the lines. You just kind of lay it out. With women, you want to be careful because you might get that spaghetti hair look and that's not what you want. So you want to first kind of draw out like your lumps and then go back in and do the detail. And then sometimes I'll even go back in and erase things. So you'll work from like a positive and negative to positive type of a thing.
Right.
If you ask me the three things that are the worst to draw and why I don't do many Spider-Man pieces is hair, vines for like poison ivy and stuff.
Right.
And and then webbing for Spidey, the costume.
I bet.
The McFarlane spaghetti webbing, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Which is, gonna, Go ahead.
You're going to invest so much time in that. So you better plan ahead on that one. So.
Which is so kind of surprising because I feel like you have a decent amount of poison ivy. And maybe not all of them have a lot of, you know, ivy going through it and the plants going through it. But I feel like almost all of them at least have some. Which is surprising that it's one of the hardest to get you know, start drawing and everything, and you have a lot of them.
Well, the most hilarious thing is like I can post Batman all grizzled up, bleeding and stuff. You know, it'll get some interaction on Instagram. Mm-hmm. If I post any like Catwoman, Harley Quinn, Ivy, it blows up. People love their women in comics.
Yeah, so 100%.
Like, and it's like it's as soon as I really, you know, I think I did. It was a Batman and Catwoman one. It was one of the ones I posted either late last year or in January. And that was the first time that I got a lot of interaction, and it's just continued to grow from there. And, you know, I've had a lot of day ones that have followed me, you know, cause I post mostly exclusively through Instagram, but Ivy posts, the Catwoman posts, those really drive a lot of interaction. So
that's crazy. I mean, it does make sense. I mean, people definitely, like you said, they do, they love their women in comics and everything, but I would have assumed, I mean, I see that your X-Men stuff is doing really good right now. And I think it's also, and this is absolutely nothing to do with your artistry. I don't mean it like as a negative, but I think it's also in part because right now on social media, X-Men is big. So I think you're hitting the right algorithm right now as well, you know, and you're getting recognized for the amazing work. I don't mean it in a way that your work's not amazing to begin with. I think it's working for you as well. And people are also hitting the algorithm and you're seeing it. And they're going, oh shit. And then they're checking out the rest of your stuff. But I would have thought just personally that your Batman stuff would have been like your top of the top. That's what I would have assumed. One, because I think your Batman stuff is fucking insanely phenomenal, dude. And then two, just because I feel like it's Batman. You know, everybody loves Batman. You know what I mean? And then especially in the cosplay community, which you're synonymous with, so many Batman, right? So many Batman fans, so many DC fans. So I would have thought that your Batman would have been, you know, even higher than Catwoman and Poison Ivy. So that's interesting.
Well, it's always the ones that I don't expect to be big that people really like. Like I drew the Valentine's Day one, and Gotham Embraces is the one I think I named that. And I couldn't keep that in stock. People just kept asking me about that print. And then the same thing with the Wolverine one, both the Miller homage I did and the classic suit.
That's awesome though, man. I mean, I'm glad that you can't, that's a good thing. I can't keep it in stock. You're like, oh, no, I can't keep it in stock.
When you're a one man band, you know, putting all this stuff together, I get home from work and I'm just slapping orders together, trying to get them out. And I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, no, 100%. But that's a good thing, dude. You know, something that I notice with your artistry is that a lot of your illustrations aren't, and I hope no one takes this the wrong way, including you, hear me out, because you kind of mentioned it a little bit too, is they're not crowded with too much going on. You know what I mean? Like in the majority of your illustrations, they are almost more so portrait-like, dare I say, up close and personal. Not all of them, but I would say most. And there's often like, there's not a bunch of stuff going on in the background, but rather continuing to perfectly display the heavy amount of detail that goes into the subject in the forefront, the subject that is currently the topic at hand for your eyes, kind of like how you mentioned yourself, that character in the foreground, much like Wolverine and Gambit were on a yellow and purple background respectively, or that pinkish reddish, alluding to the X-Men and or to a color-coded theme that the character holds. You do similar notions for characters such as your mini illustrations of Batman, such as this awesomely done version of the bat with the cape flowing all about in the wind in a menacing way, with the white eyes being the only thing that's visible on his face. And something that you have here that's different is instead of like a menacing background or like Gotham in the background or anything like that, you actually offset the situation with a colorful background, which actually has Batman pop that much more as a character. And the same can be said for your depiction with Catwoman and Batman together, with the bright red background playing off their black and grays. When it comes to this like offset, often brighter background that helps make the character pop, is that purposefully done? Like, where did this art style come from? Is it something that you just decided to partake in? You just kind of landed on? Is there inspiration that you took from? Like, how did this art style come about for you in the way of making this subject stand out that much more?
Since I started drawing, I always loved drawing like the human figure more than anything. Mm-hmm. So I really try to, when I sit down and do a character, I think, how have we seen this character before and how do we want to see them as a fan? more than anything. So like that Batman piece that, you know, you brought up, the whole time I was drawing it, I'm like, this is giving me Tim Sale vibes, like right. the whole time.
Yes.
And really before I even started doing my cross hatches and mm-hmm. all my line work on that, I posted it and immediately a guy jumped on it. He's like, I want to buy that. And I'm like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So like since I felt like it was a Tim Sale vibe, mm-hmm. I was like, let me dive into the book. Let's see what colors and tones they used in that. So literally I tried to capture that as closely as I could with that. Yeah. But sometimes I do try to offset things. Mm-hmm. I feel like red is such a powerful color to use.
It is. Yes.
So, I mean, it's very eye catching mm-hmm. and like, you know, for Batman and Catwoman, it really just, I mean, the love between those characters more right. than anything.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, they're not even looking at each other in that piece at all. I mean, she's looking off in the distance, mm-hmm. you know, what is she thinking about during that? What is he's brooding, you know, yeah. behind her. And, you know, it really makes your mind wonder what's going on in this moment. So,
right. And he looks so calm and collected as Batman mm-hmm. usually does. And I like the fact that you don't have a cowl on her. You have the hair once mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. And I think that was an awesome choice. I don't know if you just went with that right off the bat or if you were ever thinking about putting a cowl on her in this piece, but I think it's so beautifully done because you nailed the hair mm-hmm. again. Like one of my favorite things of yours is all of your detail, to be honest with you, because it's a large portion of this episode is going to be all about like your detailing and stuff, but it's the hair. If anybody hasn't noticed, I keep talking about it. The hair is phenomenal. It's so well done. And in this piece, just like you said, her in the front, Batman brooding in the back, she's looking off and it's kind of, they're kind of calm. They're collected. You don't know what's going on. It makes your mind wonder. And then the hair just flowing as well. Just kudos, man. Perfectly done. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Keep going.
No, that's fine. So, I did go into that piece. I wanted the cowl off of her. Mm-hmm. Not many times, like you can look at that. And without Batman being there, you could almost think that's Catwoman right there.
Right. Yeah, right.
And I really wanted to capture, you know, it's kind of that Zoe Kravitz type yeah. of like suit. Mm-hmm. But, and someone actually asked me like, what comic is this from? What is this based on? Like, well, it's not nice. A comic, it's mine.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, I wanted to give it a good mix of like a lot of the, you know, iterations we've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, not often do we get like, the you know, the purple cat long hair anymore. Mm-hmm. It was like in the early 2000s, they said, yeah. no, we're cutting Catwoman's hair short. So
yeah,
I tried to go for a happy
now.
Medium with that one. And then as far as like some backgrounds, I know you asked like, you know, I don't do a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
I spend so much time getting the detail work on, you know, the human form that yes. oftentimes I'm like,
yes.
hopefully that's enough.
Yes.
Because again, I'm a lazy artist when it comes to a lot of stuff. So if I can get away without putting a background in, that's cake. I do include some like off in the distance,
right.
like mm-hmm. buildings or shading.
Yep.
Rain is great because you can hide a lot.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I have one right here in person actually.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite ones.
I got the plastic is still on it. So there's some glare. I'll try to get the best there. But yeah, speaking of the rain, absolutely amazing. Batgirl here with the rain. I mean, just phenomenal, man. It's just, it's perfect, dude.
And that's one of my favorite pieces. Mm-hmm. That one and the ones I've done, the Batgirl one, which I still have plenty of. Again, I don't know why that one hasn't sold a lot, but again, it doesn't matter.
This one right
yeah,
here?
Yeah. I thought that one was going to fly off the shelves. And it's funny too, because a lot of people say that it looks like Taylor Swift, and that's not a plug.
Oh, really?
But
oh,
if you
damn.
Look at it.
Okay, now that you said that, I see it. But I did it. I didn't think about that at all until you said it. We're going to have to get a sponsorship from Taylor Swift just off of Tilly's technique over here. Yeah, no, it's amazing.
A whole bunch of people said that. That one and then the Frank Miller homage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one. Those two are my favorite ones I've done.
Yeah, they're amazing, dude. And you do a lot of reds, and I actually like that. Yeah, I feel like the reds, they play well with I think they play very well with like Batman and Catwoman and stuff like that. A lot of DC characters actually. And it just makes them pop, man. And I really dig it. And the way that you do these with these plain and often brighter backgrounds is exactly what I said. It kind of makes the character pop. It draws your eye to the character that much more, which is exactly kind of what you said you were trying to achieve, right? You want the character to kind of be the thing that stands out. But it's not only the character, in my opinion, but it's the detail and the time that you put into the character that I think helps that background, helps accentuate each eyelash on Catwoman's eyes, each layout of Harley Quinn's muscles poking out from underneath the suit, like the ab area. It's not just a suit, but you can see there's a human there. There's a humanly aspect to it, which is exactly what you said. Humanly aspect to this illustration. There's time put into it to further add that realism. And much like your absolutely phenomenal Batman piece here, which actually happens to be black and white, no color. So as we're sitting here talking about color and making things pop, we're actually going to jump to the complete opposite side of the spectrum, because still, without color, your details, they stand out perfectly, man. Not a step has been missed, dude. The muscular physique of the bat, the dripping of each drop into the puddle, to him holding Joker by the throat and the blood dripping from his nose, the clenching of the jaw from Batman, to your depiction of John Constantine, which I find fascinating, dude, because there's no color in this, and the flame that he has still burns just as bright as it would if there was. And just a beautiful technique, no pun intended. And obviously, just like with many artists, you're probably not starting off with color. I'm going to assume that when you start an art piece, it's probably void of color. So I have a two-part question here. When it comes to these no color pieces, do you go into it knowing that you're not going to add color, or do you find your way down that decision later? And then if and when you do go into it knowing that you're not going to add color, how does that alter the way that you finish the piece, knowing that you won't have the color spectrum to further help accentuate details?
So when I start out a piece, I do a crude drawing and then I go back in with the inks. And then from there, again, some people just like inked pieces. They like the black and white. I try to do a good amount of change up, when I post and I do these things. So if I look at a piece and I think the job's done with it just being black and white, I'll leave it that way. One important thing though, is like when you're doing a strictly black and white piece, is that you really need to pay attention to your line weights. And what that means is, you know, when light comes from a different way, the line's going to be thinner. Mm-hmm. And then when it goes back into to the darkness, it's going to need to be thicker. Right. So I don't really go into it expecting that. Sometimes I will post both too. And that's one of the pros to doing the digital work is, again, I do color on that back layer and then I can just pull that off so that, I can show both. And what was the second part of the question?
If you know that you're not going to add color, like how, knowing you won't have the color spectrum to help further accentuate those details. So how do you go into that? I mean, you kind of explained it a little bit though, with the lines and the lighting and everything, but for instance, something like, I'll give you another example. For instance, like the Constantine one with the flame, right? Like you can see the flame there where he's lighting, but there's no color. You know what I mean? And the color would help accentuate that much more, but it's just a black and white piece and it's perfect, which, I mean, it's not a new invention. We have black and white TVs with lighting and this and that before we had color. So I'm just saying, but as an artist, I find it fascinating because obviously this Constantine piece is just phenomenal from the hair all the way down to his hand, the coat and everything else. But that flame just for some reason personally stands out to me because there's not even any color, but yet you can still see it. It's still accentuated.
So literally with that piece, the only thing I did was I took my eraser and I put it on an airbrush and I just tapped it on the screen.
Really?
That's it. That's it. Because again, I looked at it afterwards and I'm like, you can tell a flame's there, but it's going to be giving off light.
Right.
So, the smoke's coming off there. He's lighting a cigarette. I wanted to capture that moment. That's so John Constantine, like this would come straight out of like Batman Dance.
Right when
he meets him, your unreliable narrator type of thing.
Exactly.
And I think John Constantine has not gotten his due justice. Oh, 100%
with you.
In DC, I know there was a Keanu Reeves movie, Love Keanu and everything, but I mean,
we need that accuracy.
James Gunn, we need that.
Yes, 100%. And his whole universe and everything. If anybody's tuned into the DC animated universe, they do Constantine major justice in all those movies, which for some reason, I'm drawing a blank. I'm a huge fan of all of them. I've watched every single one, except for the recent ones before anyone hits me on that. The Crisis on Infinite Earth ones and all of that. The Tomorrowverse. There we go. The Tomorrowverse for all my DC animated universe nerds out there. I'm behind on the Tomorrowverse. I got to catch up on that. But before the Tomorrowverse, They did, I don't know if you've ever seen any of those. They did Constantine so much justice in those. I highly recommend watching those, man. You'd probably end up being a really big fan of it if you haven't watched them. And I can't remember any of the names right now for some reason. I'm drawing a blank.
Are you talking about the DCAU?
Yeah, right? And they had
Justice League Dark.
Dark, yeah, Justice League Dark. I think and was then, it Apocalypse War?
Apocalypse War.
Apocalypse War, yeah. And then I think he
plays a huge part in those.
Huge.
And then they there was a short that they did. Mm-hmm. It was The House of Mystery, I think.
Yeah, wasn't it like a couple shorts in one long thing, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they did him phenomenally in that.
Yeah, they did.
And
I love it.
And I love the interactions between Batman and Deadman.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you read my mind. Perfect. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's all, when they're in the car too and Deadman's behind it. Wow, it's perfect.
Does he say it to Deadman or does he say it to like those Grim Reaper shadowy figures? Where
I think it's them.
He can't see them and he's just like, boo.
Yeah, exactly. It's so perfect, dude. I love it. Those for anybody that hasn't seen it, go out there and do it now. After this episode, go out there and do it, man. It's phenomenal, dude. It's amazing from the color to the black and white and everything in between, dude. And not only is it just the color and then the black and white, but you also have these like partly colored versions as well, as you have some renditions like Catwoman and Poison Ivy, where only certain portions are colored, the lips, the eyes, the rose that Ivy holds, or even as I mentioned in the intro, Wolverine, I believe with the cigar actually only has a colored background and the detail is so vivid and the background pops so much and the character stands out so much that you almost don't even notice that Logan himself isn't colored. And it's just a job well done, dude. And I say this to say that your detail, the technique of your detail, again, no pun intended, is absolutely on point, man. And I want to talk to you some more about all of this stuff, some of your illustrations, and we're even going to talk to you a little bit about your cosplays and everything. But before we do that, let's break up the monotony and let's get into this week's Cosplay of the Week! Oh! And this week's Cosplay of the Week is none other than Captain Tempest. And I'm throwing it up on the screen right about now. And this is a long time coming. And this is of his Daredevil, his black and red Daredevil, which is absolutely amazing. I've gotten the chance to see it in person. And I got to tell you, it looks amazing in this photo, which is an awesome photo by iPhoto UK. And the suit is by Leather Fashion Valley, which he worked with them hand in hand in the design. It's a unique design. And the photos that he has, and there's also some videos, and I've gotten the chance to work with him. We did a fight scene with previous Cosplay of the Week and guest Sentinel. And that'll be thrown up at some point while I'm talking about his Daredevil. And it looks amazing in photos. It looks amazing in video. But seeing it in person, man, I got to tell you, top-notch job. Like, seriously, the way that him and Leather Fashion Valley worked on it to get that unique design, and it fits him perfectly. It's incredible. It's one of those suits that you see in person, you just go, damn, like this could be in the actual, I was going to say Netflix series, but it's Disney now, in the upcoming Disney series, Born Again. And he credits CosplayDad_UK for the helmet, and CharlieMott5 for the Billy Clubs, the logo design and the casting by the_heroic_geek. And phenomenal, dude. An epic shot by iPhoto UK, like he says. And I love it, dude. And I want to throw up another photo, and he's got, by the way, he's got a bunch of amazing cosplays. Shazam, he does a Weapon X, a bunch of different Daredevils. He just recently did a Superman, phenomenal. And I know people are probably thinking, I'm probably going to throw up his Superman, maybe his Weapon X, since we've been talking about mutants so much in this episode, which, by the way, we've got guest this week, Tilly's Technique, an artist in the form of illustrations and a cosplayer himself. Guest this week, Tilly's Technique. If you haven't checked out the full episode, or you're just watching this on Instagram as a clip right now, do be sure after watching the clip on Instagram, go check out the full episode on YouTube and or Spotify. And we're talking with Tilly's Technique about all of his amazing illustrations from Marvel to DC and everything in between. And we'll hear from Tilly in just a second here. But you're probably thinking, I'm gonna throw up like his Shazam or his Superman or maybe another rendition of his Daredevil. But I want to throw a little bit of a curveball here, and I want to throw up his, I'm throwing it up on the screen, almost forgot right about now, and it's his Black Bolt. And I chose this because I don't feel like his Black Bolt gets enough love. And I don't mean that disrespectfully in any sort of way, Tempest, but I just feel like your Black Bolt doesn't get enough love. It's your fault, man. You're not posting it enough. I'm just kidding, bro. But suit by Captain Tempest himself, photo by Carlos Adama. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it says, I don't know exactly what you mean, but I'm assuming Carlos is a part of a production company, obviously, because this is part of If Only Dot Productions and made using Polydot props. And I want to read the caption on this because it says, "So happy with how this suit came out. Was not easy to produce, as the suit in the movie was all CGI. So there were very few references to go by. And what an incredible opportunity to shoot on location in the British Museum. Amazing shot. Perfectly done. Looks like it was ripped straight out of the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness movie, dude. And I don't feel like your Black Bolt gets enough love. Not only because it just looks amazing and you make a great Black Bolt, but because of the story behind it. The fact that you did this yourself, you didn't have much to go off of because the suit was CGI. It's phenomenal, dude. I think it's absolutely amazing. So from your Daredevil to your Black Bolt to everything that I mentioned and everything in between, dude, phenomenal job, man. And I love your Daredevil with the raps on there and everything as well. In the video that we did where you're just beating the living hell out of Sentinel's Black Bolt and the raps come off. Phenomenal job, man. But back to the Black Bolt, it's just perfect, bro. It's just amazing. And guest this week, Tilly's Technique. Before we wrap this segment up, I gotta ask you, man, do you have anything that you want to add?
Great cosplayer. I was scrolling through his page when you told me that he was going to be the cosplay of the week, and yeah, Superman, that Weapon X. I mean, yes. that you either you can Dude. Either do that cosplay or you can't do that cosplay.
Yes.
And he can do that. So,
he can do it. Yes.
Yeah. Leather Fashion Valley does great mm-hmm. work. And yeah. then for him to, you know, pull off a practical suit when it was yeah. CGI, I mean, that's impressive. I like practical yeah. over, you know, in movies anyway, yeah. practical use mm-hmm. over CGI, you know, and yeah. beautiful work.
Yeah, 100%, man. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not following Captain Tempest, go follow him at Captain_Tempest, spelled exactly how it sounds, because Captain Tempest, your Daredevil and Black Bolt cosplay of the week for me and Tilly's Technique is amazing. I'm choking. There's that cough. Bear with me while I take a sip out of my Run It Up mug. Run it up. Run it up. Real quick, before we continue talking to Tilly's Technique, I see everyone's going to cons, right? Left and right this year. Seems like everybody's going to a convention every other weekend, maybe even every weekend. Who knows? And if you want to add one more con to that list, then I suggest that you gear up for Cosplay World Con this June 15th and 16th in Richmond, Virginia at the Greater Richmond Convention Center. There's going to be over 100 artists and vendors for you to browse through in person. Photo ops by some great photogs within the cosplay community. Brian Cox will be there. Jeff Jenkins will be there. Contests are going to be available for you to enter, especially if you're a cosplayer, for a chance to win over $2,500 in cash and prizes. Going to be a flurry of guest cosplayers. So many that have been cosplays of the week and or guests on this show, and so many that haven't, that I'm also looking forward to meeting myself, possibly shooting videography myself, or maybe even having on my panel, because that's right, I'm going to be there live and in full effect as a guest myself, camera in hand, maybe even in cosplay when the camera's not, as well as at 12 p.m. EST on Saturday, June 15th, you can catch me hosting the cosplay content creation panel with a table full of amazing guests that I can't wait to announce to you, as announcements will roll out over the forthcoming weeks via Instagram. If you want to add another con to your list, add Cosplay World Con, because get ready for the premier cosplay festival by copping your tickets to Cosplay World Con right now at cosplayworldrichmond.com. Tap in, lock in, run it up, and when you do, let them know that the Chazosaurus Rex sent ya. Tilly's Technique. I want to throw a little bit of a curveball your way real quick, and I want to get into a segment that I like to call... Now, shotgun questions. And what shotgun questions is a little bit more of a rapid fire segment than the rest of this episode, which never actually ends up being that rapid fire. And that's okay. We always end up talking about things a little bit more than we plan. And that's perfectly fine. Shotgun questions is a series about 3 to 4 questions, depending on time, depending on guests, depending on what I had for you. That's just a little bit of fun. Nothing serious. All fun and games. Sometimes guests know that it's coming. Sometimes they don't know that it's coming. When they do know it's coming, they just don't know when it's coming. It's a little bit of a curveball. Let's see how much fun that we can have when I ask you. The X-Men are a hot topic right now. We've been talking about them a little bit today, and I'm curious, what are some things that you want the MCU to do with the X-Men in film? I'll give you some examples. Maybe it's the mutants that you want to be focused on. Maybe you have a list that you'd like to see. Maybe it's villains that you think need to be portrayed. Maybe it's something that you think Disney can learn from its past from a production standpoint, whether that be good or bad, things to apply or not apply when the mutants make their big screen appearance. What are some things that you want the MCU to do with the X-Men in film?
My number one thing is I want Fassbender back as Magneto.
Oh, dude, me too. Me too.
He did such a good job in those movies. And like First Class, I loved. What was the one after First Class?
Days of Future Past. Did that come?
Days of Future Past.
There, I think it was.
Yeah. So like he did such a good job portraying the character. You felt so much emotion from him. Yeah. And he played such a good bad guy.
Yes.
And I don't think Magneto's bad, so I mean, you know.
Yeah. We could have that conversation too, and weigh the pros and the cons that he has as a good guy and as a bad guy.
And then, really, the only other thing is give Wolverine his cowl.
Yes,
that's all I want. Yeah. And I think it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Yep. Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah.
Check that off the list.
Yeah, definitely, man. Good picks, dude. You may or may not know this one. Out of these Batmen, you've got Keaton, Bale, Affleck, Pattinson. You can only choose one, and the rest and their universe cease to exist. Who do you pick?
So I think I might have answered this on an Instagram comment when you posted this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick with it if I can. Yeah. I want Affleck in Bale's universe.
I'm so glad that you went with this and said something so different and off the charts. Go ahead. Keep going.
I love Affleck's suit so much. Mm-hmm. It is the first time that we got that comic accurate suit.
Yeah.
That gray, the black, he can do the navy blue. They mm-hmm. proved that in The Flash, even though terrible movie.
I agree. Yeah.
They've shown that it can work in film, and I hope they continue to use that. So, you know, Affleck, I think, did a great Batman. Yeah. I think the movies didn't do as well for other reasons.
Yeah.
So same. I think if you put him in Bale's universe where the villains were so strong,
yes,
that I think that raises him to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
So
I agree, because I don't think we got to see Affleck fight enough villains that are from his universe, you know, and go toe to toe with Joker in his universe, go toe to toe with Deathstroke, what could have been, you know, and whoever else that you'd like to name that you think would fit in that universe. I'm going to throw a curveball just randomly here. And I actually think, being Zack Snyder's universe and BVS and how they went up against, I'm drawing a blank. What's his name? The villain in BVS. Why am I drawing a blank?
Doomsday.
Doomsday. Yeah. Right. Okay. So that kind of fantastical kind of aspect that Zack Snyder's universe kind of did have, and the way that he did things, the way that Darkseid looked, the way that Doomsday looked. I actually think, and maybe just as a side character, I think a lot of people would agree that it's maybe not a main character, but I'm going to throw a curveball and say, and you don't have to agree with me, but I think that I would have loved to see a Solomon Grundy exist in Affleck's universe. I just feel like that could have been a cool thing to visually see, just in my personal opinion. I don't know how the writing would be. We could have conversations about writing all day. I know a lot of people don't like Zach's writing and this and that, but I just wanted to see more villains in that universe. So I kind of agree with you on that, man.
Yeah, I mean, they were really leaning into like that Batman taking on more than just human form. So, you know, Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday. You know?
Yeah.
Stick him in there. Yeah, but like the Dark Knight Returns is one of my favorite comics. Yeah. Again, I know people think it's a little bit overrated, but
I go back and forth. And I have my pros and I have the things that I like with that universe and the things that I don't.
I think if you go into it in like a time capsule of when it was written, it's so much better.
Yes, I agree and on
then,
that 100%.
And then also just forget about any sequels or anything that came after
it. So. Yeah. I would have loved to see what Affleck would have done. Imagine him going up against Heath Ledger's Joker. You know, I would have loved to see how that played out.
And my Roman Empire, like, if I'm feeling sad on a Monday, I put on that BVS fight scene where he's shooting guys, throwing them over, he gets stabbed with a knife. Like, could you, you can't give me another like 5 minutes of film that just encapsulates a character so well.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody can say what they like and people are going to come at me in the comments for this, but that fight scene, there's not a Batman fight scene that tops it. I'm calling it now, man. We're ending on that point. Last question. If you could time travel to any period, any era, where would you go and why? And you can have up to three different choices.
So my choices are going to be pretty lame because I think a lot of people answer the same way. The 80s.
You got it. Common theme with everybody.
Growing up, I watched so many movies from the 80s that I'm like, I go back and I showed my friends in college. They're like, Nick, these movies are terrible. And I'm like, no, they're not.
They're amazing.
Yeah. We're watching like Schwarzenegger's like Commando and like Lethal Weapon, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think there's just something about that time period, the hair, the leather jackets, everything. I mean,
the music.
Yes. I mean, everything about that time period is something that I would want to go experience.
Yeah, same. I agree with you on that one.
And then the other one would be medieval times. So.
Yeah, you're right. It's like everybody's picks are getting the same here.
give me that Witcher-esque type of berserk, you know, I want a giant sword, type of a thing. So,
yeah, 100%.
Those would be probably my top two picks.
Top two. You got a third one or are you going with just two?
I think I'm just going to stay with those two.
Sticking with two. I dig it, man. I like it, dude. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Shotgun Questions. Wow. Let's keep it going, dude. All these amazing illustrations that you do, dude, man, they're just top notch, man. And I have some myself. I showed the Taylor Swift version of Batgirl here. No, I'm just kidding. Before somebody just sees only this portion, they're gonna be like, what? He really drew Taylor Swift as Batgirl? No, it was a joke. If you didn't watch the whole thing, I got some in person here. Some are going to Paper Moon Cosplay in her cosplay workshop when she decides which ones that she's gonna officially hang up. But I just want to show the ones that I have. And then I have some hanging on the wall on one of the cams here that you can see on one of the cams. And I don't know. Everything that I'm doing is also a work in progress. The set's going to change and I don't know what I'm going to do. This cam is going to end up being different. And I don't know where everything's going to end up. So I may even have more up. But they're amazing, dude. And something it's from Marvel to DC and just the way that you put pen to paper, so to speak, because you don't really put pen to paper. How, when, and where did it all begin, man? Your journey into illustration. And did it begin with pen to paper?
So it actually began with chalk to board.
Ah, nice. I thought you were going to say chalk to cement, you know, as a kid.
I'm 31, so I've been drawn since... Oh, I'll be 31 coming up here in a couple of days. But my parents always talk about it started with a chalkboard that I still own. Yeah. It's in my house that we would draw on that. And, you know, my grandfather, he was very artistically talented, did a lot of ink work. I never got the privilege to meet him. Okay. But that's kind of where it stemmed from. When I was, you know, growing up, I got really into anime and Dragon Ball Z.
Nice.
So I think I would draw Goku, Vegeta, and, you know, it just continued to grow through, elementary school and into high school. I would draw just characters, enter into art contests, all types of stuff. So nice. I remember one time I was standing in front of a girl and the piece I entered in was Jack Nicholson's Joker.
Oh, nice, dude.
And she literally said, that looks traced. Oh. And I took that as a compliment. So,
good. But optimistic.
It was in charcoal. The whole thing, but, you know, and then when I got into high school, I took as many art classes as I could, besides 3D because I'm a lazy artist. That's a lot of work to make things look good from all different angles.
Yeah.
So I was faced with a decision of what life path I wanted to take. I wanted to do something in fitness and something in that general direction. So I decided that, you know, I would pursue physical therapy, which is my actual day job. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I need a degree for that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need a degree to be an artist. I can still work and hone on those skills.
Yeah.
And that's what I did really. I graduated college, then, had the idea to start up an Instagram. Mm-hmm. The kind of bump in the road in my story is like between the ages of like 15 and 26. Mm-hmm. I made a lot of poor choices and I kind of fell into alcoholism and something I'm very open about.
Right.
This coming December, I will be 5 years sober.
Oh, no, so, congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. So, 2019, I got my shit straight. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, what would happen if I really just leaned into, creating art and sharing it with the world? Like, how big can this go? How far can it go?
Right.
Once I quit drinking and everything, positivity just poured in my life. And then I wanted to pour that out to the world as much as I could. So I got into, back into fitness. I started drawing, these people in the functional fitness industry. And I actually got picked up to draw weight belt art for a company. Yeah. The company's called Tupud. They're
I've seen you promoting them before. Yeah.
Tupud is a measurement of weight. So like whenever I say that, people are like, what the hell is that? So, they sponsor like the United States weightlifting and all that. So if you ever order a custom belt from them, it's likely going to be drawn by me.
That's sick, dude.
So yeah.
That's so cool.
So then after that, and I still do work for them in about 2021, is when I first started kind of like, I'm like, I'm always looking for references. My iPad's is full of pictures of references. And I start stumbling on the cosplayers and I'm like, man, this is really cool. Like they're dressed for me. I don't have to pose anything. Right. I can just draw them. So I'm like, what could make them feel more appreciated than taking the medium of their artwork and what they created? And then what if I transition that back into a comic for them?
Right.
So I think the first one I did
comes full circle there.
Yeah. So like, I want them to feel appreciated in, this looks awesome. This could be in a comic. So I think the first person I did was Whack Matters.
Okay. Yeah.
And he does an awesome Batman. He's a great Batman. Does a lot of Indiana Jones stuff. And then from there, it just kind of kept going. And I would often draw like a lot of cosplayers, and still a lot of them come at me with commission work. Yeah. So. I've drawn like Amalia Cat,
previous Caleb guest Weeks. And cosplay of the week, previous guest and cosplay of the week.
Yep. So a lot of guests, that subscriber guy, if you want to say previous
guest and cosplay of the week. Yeah.
So, I've gotten to know a lot of people in the space and, everyone has just been super positive and all that. So, and then I've just been honing my skills over the past, couple of years. And I just started selling prints come January.
Yeah.
And I held that back for a while because I was like,
wait, you just started doing that recently?
Yeah. So
I
would just do like digital commissions sometimes for people, but I just started selling prints this January and I was just scared because I'm like, I didn't want that. That just dismiss thing of, I order these prints, they sit in my house and nobody wants to buy them.
Yes.
But yeah. I knew I had to take that. I had to take that leap if I wanted to go further. So, when I first posted they were available, I was scared shitless that nobody was going to buy them.
Yeah.
But then I got a DM and they're like, I want this one. And then, 2 hours later, oh yeah, I want this. So, it started snowballing. And then, like I told you, like it's just so validating to be seen by people and 100%. For people to want my work. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's my journey encapsulated and how I am where I'm at now.
I think you hit a perfect mark with the cosplay community. Like, you know, I'm sure your the algorithms and everything, you know, send you people that are interested in comic books and art in general as well. But I think you hit such a perfect time where I think cosplay is bigger than it's ever been, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And then just such a perfect audience, because like you said, like even with drawing the cosplayers as well, it's like full, that kind of full circle moment where, mm-hmm. you know, they're inspired by usually, you know, the comics or, you know, whatever artists or maybe even movies if in case they, you know, weren't into comics or anything. And, but either way, it all goes back to where just these characters started in general, which were mm-hmm. drawings, you know what I mean? Which were illustrations. And then you take them and you do that. And then that kind of gets eyes on yourself as well. And then they're looking at the other stuff that you're making that's not cosplay related, that's just your illustrations. Mm-hmm. And it's, but it's all within this community of nerddom and geekdom of all these things yeah. that we all love. And I just feel like you just hit a perfect road, man, you know, with this community. And you're mm-hmm. definitely a staple in this community. You're a part of this community and in your own way with the illustration as well, aside from the cosplay that you do, which we're going to talk about in just a second before we get out of here. But when it comes to your illustrations, like who would you say, or what would you say, even if it's not like a person, what's your biggest inspirations?
As far as like people that I really look at, mm-hmm. and like, hopefully I want to emulate, but in my own way, Jim Lee, of course, mm-hmm. is big for everybody. Yeah. McFarlane.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Silvestri. Mm-hmm. I've tried so often to try to draw like Frank.
Yeah.
Because like my favorite comic book cover ever, going back to, you know, the Dark Knight thing, is that Dark yep. Knight Triumphant.
Yes.
I've tried to draw that cover so yes. many times.
Really?
And it just falls short. I can't figure it out. But you know, I've really put in a lot of time, and it's funny because I was having a conversation about this with someone else, and mm-hmm. it's like every single comic book character, when you look at them, especially when you look at Jim Lee's work, and this isn't a shot at Jim Lee, mm-hmm. is the only thing that makes Superman Superman is his curl and his cape.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes Batman Batman is his cowl, which you can mm-hmm. only see this much of his face, and yeah. the bat emblem. And the same mm-hmm. thing with, you know, women characters. So yeah. I would say if you can draw 4 different noses from 6 different angles, mm-hmm. however many eyes from all that, you can draw any character.
Yeah.
So that's my advice for a lot of, you know, young artists trying to get in the space and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lee, McFarlane, a lot of those guys, you know, from that nice. 90s era yeah. where, you know, definitely. they just went crazy with the line work. Line failed, yeah. but hopefully I can yeah. draw feet better than him. Maybe that's why I only draw portraits up to here.
I like but. That. I like that. The comic book heads will know that reference. Man, it's amazing, dude. You do phenomenal work, man. And aside from just being an artist in the sense of illustration, you also have done we talked about it, the artist renditions of cosplayers in the community as well, pinning them into your rendition of artistry. But I feel like since we've talked about that a little bit, we at least got to close out the show with a mention of the fact that you're also a cosplayer yourself, man, rocking an awesome Batman here in this photo that's up on the screen, cowl by Shadow Studio Effects, and an amazing edit by Pixel Lens. Or you've also got this amazing edit that you did in the style of Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. We kind of just talked about that. And yeah. this is amazing, dude, because I'm a huge fan of this style as well. I love this. And this is definitely one of my favorites. And another that I want to highlight is the awesome one of you holding the Kryptonite, where the cosplay and the edit are both done by yourself, I believe. And it's just a job well done, dude. I mean, mm-hmm. how long have you been cosplaying in general?
So around the same time when I started to draw the cosplayers, that's also when I'm like, maybe I should like get to this art form myself. And, you know, because I've always loved the special effects aspect of movies and things. Right. So mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, what can I create myself? What can I outsource? How can I make these characters look the way that I think they should look?
Yeah.
So, you know, around the year 21 is when I really got into it. The very first one I did was The Dark Knight Returns, because again, mm. my favorite. Then that's I followed amazing. That one up with it's kind of like a Fabok, which again, mm. he inspires me too. I left him out.
Yeah.
You know, his line works fantastic. It's like a Fabok Lee Hush
yeah.
kind of amalgamation with that one. I'm a big fan of Blue Batman, you know, yes. I don't think it's done enough.
It's not.
And I think it can be done, you know, again, in a very good way.
Yeah.
Pixel Lens does great job with edits 100%. And stuff.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to, you know, I edited a couple of those mm-hmm. Doing the best I could, but yeah. I'm going to outsource all work of edits that way from now on.
Yeah.
They, he did an amazing one of, it was a Fabok inspired piece of Gotham burning behind me.
Yes.
And the rain's coming down.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one. Like,
yeah, dude,
by far.
No, Pixel Lens is no joke, man. He does amazing work, dude. I mean, what's next for like your cosplay future? Like, what are you planning to do more Batman? Are you going to ever step outside of Batman? Are you going to step towards the Marvel route or, you know, anywhere else, Invincible or maybe anything that you draw yourself? Like what's next for cosplay?
So on my Instagram, I'll post sporadically a little bit of kind of like my cosplay builds. I think a lot of people have seen that I'm working on a Magneto.
Nice, dude.
So that's going to be kind of the classic 97 look. You know, we're going to do purple undies. We're going to have the nice chest collar.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of finishing work on my end. I think I'm going to kind of reach out to DH Cosplay to do the suit for that, which I'm working on my third Batman iteration, which again, I think some people have seen that, and that's going to be a Bermejo inspired one.
Dude, sick.
Not so much Batman Noel because the shoulder piece is cool and all, but I think he does the most practical looking like comic Batman.
Yeah.
And I want to do a huge shout out to OB Arkham. He's kept me very motivated for that build and has given me a lot of direction. Him and I are working on some stuff too, kind of behind the scenes that, hopefully will transpire in something, but
he was the last episode. He's got a couple Bermejo inspired, suits and everything that he worked with Leather Fashion Valley and White Sheep Leather and everything. And kind of has added his little unique twist to them in different ways. Mm-hmm. And it looks amazing, but yeah.
And then, I recently posted that, like I think I was scrolling through something and the Batman versus Predator. Have you ever seen that suit that's in the very first run they did? It's a great comic too, by the way.
I don't remember it 100%, but I know what you're talking about. Like I know of it, but I can't picture it right now. I'll have to look back after this.
Very underrated book. But at the end, he puts on a suit that, I mean, I think rivals kind of like that Dark Knight Returns mech suit, where it is just, it's so 90s and like just so amazing to look at that I would love to try to recreate that at some point,
but
that's
sick.
That's way back, you know, and you know, you got to secure funds for that type of
thing. Exactly. So. Dude. Exactly. Dude, that's sick, man. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait for more stuff, dude. And we got to do like a collab or something, dude, with my black mask or something, man. You know,
we
should figure something out. I got to take some more shots and everything. I haven't been taking any more photos, but, I got a couple people that I'm going to collab with, but I got to get the photos done, start sending them out, make them happen, dude. We should definitely do something, dude. I'd love to do, I don't know if it makes 100% sense, but I'd love to do something with the Frank Miller Dark Knight style and Black Mask, just because it's personally my favorite. We don't have to, but it's just personally
I'm
my
down.
Favorite.
I'm down.
I don't know what we'll figure it out off air, but man, it's been absolutely amazing having you here, dude. I'm stoked to be able to talk a little bit more in depth about your illustrations and get it out to the people who may be interested as well. Before we get out of here, dude, I want to give you the floor to say whatever it is you want to say, plug whatever you want to plug, and just whatever's on your mind, man.
I just want to thank you for having me on the show, number one.
Yeah, of course.
To, you know, share my story a little bit, because again, not often do people get to see my face. They just see my illustrations.
Yeah.
So big thanks on that. I am working with someone to get some shirts out. It's more, I'm just doing the artwork. The shirts are all his thing he's pushing. That's at Mike's Domain. It's _ Mike's Domain. A lot of people are doing a lot of like big Marvel shirts, but DC gets left out in that. So kind of like the mission that he came to me with was, hey, your art's fantastic. I want to do DC shirts that are not getting the love that they need. So we're really hoping to kind of shake up the shirt industry kind of with that. So our very first release is going to be Green Lantern and Star Sapphire. And that artwork is on my page and his page. And then I think it's going to be a limited run. I'm not sure of how many shirts. I don't remember off the top of my head. But there's also a chance to get 3 very exclusive prints of that same thing. There were 4, but he kept 1. Mm-hmm. So there's 3 that if you order a shirt, you have the chance to get that and a shirt. So check those out. They're beautiful shirts, and I can't wait to, you know, get one in my possession. We have, I think, the first 5 drops planned out.
Nice.
So that'll be awesome.
Hell yeah.
Another thing is I'm still doing my 2K giveaway, even though I hit 5,000 followers now on Instagram, but there's still a chance to enter in that by May 1st, and you'll get three prints. Nice. And then the last thing I want to, you know, kind of leave is, you know, as creators, you know, yourself, myself, mm-hmm. give us credit for what we do.
Yes.
You know,
thank you.
I've had such a sour taste in my mouth working with people and not receiving credit from work. And it happens by accident. And, you know, if sometimes I'll confront people, sometimes I won't, but
I confront them all.
just give me, you know, I spend hours over my, you know, my work. Give me just the slightest bit of credit. For the first time in my career, I did not get credit, and it was the most.
It's horrible, dude. It's a shitty feeling.
It's easy to do. Just do it.
Great message. Everybody, if you're not, go follow Tilly's Technique, spelled exactly how it sounds, on Instagram and wherever else he may be. I welcome you back in the future, dude. We'll let some time go by, maybe some more illustrations, some cosplays in the future and everything. And we'll have another go, man. We'll have a good time. Talk it up, chop it up, and see where the future ends up going for you, man. It's been absolutely awesome. I thank you for being here, dude. I'm stoked. And to everybody tuning in, thank you for watching, for liking, for commenting, for sharing, for doing all of those beautiful things that you do over on youtube.com/sideprojectpodcast. When you go down, you hit that big red subscribe button. When you hit it, it goes and you get 100 sexy project points. Thank you for watching and listening and watching on Spotify as well, because videos are available on Spotify. When you follow and you rate and do all the things that you do, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram at IGHateschazzy. And if you're everything else you're looking at, TikTok and all that stuff is available on the screen right now. You can't click it, but you can click it in the description, do all the things. You can hit follow and watch it all and have a good time over there on TikTok as well before it apparently is gone in the United States. I don't know. Apparently, who knows? We'll find out. If you're looking for the podcast as a whole, you can find it on Instagram at Side Project Podcast. Remember, that's project with a K. For me, for Tilly's Technique, we are out of here.